Happy you join me as we delve into our final two principles of happiness in this podcast mini-series. Let's have ourselves a pep talk.
A pocket-sized pep talk, the podcast that can help energize your business and your life with a quick, inspiring message. Now, here's your host, Rob Jollis.
Well, here we are. Our final two elements of happiness to go. Let's kick it off by discussing meaningful activities. It makes sense that being involved in a meaningful activity will contribute to happiness. Being engaged in meaningful activities is on everyone's radar. It's not a secret, but it's very hard to achieve when you're young. When you're in college, you're placed in an environment that preaches the joys of meaningful activities. Your professor teaches it, your books support it, and your advisors help you plan for it. Yes, life is one big bowl of meaningful activities until you graduate. And suddenly you find yourself in a long line with other recent college graduates, and all of you have been promised bright futures. Although you were prepared to find your meaningful activities, it doesn't quite happen that easily. Things can seem very gloomy under these circumstances. I wanted to be a professional speaker. My first position in this field was a job as a trainer, and I taught the wonders of flood insurance to claims adjusters, actuaries, and underwriters. These were 16-hour programs that stretched over 2 days. Sounds like fun, right? It was meaningful to me because it put me on a path I wanted to be on. Some people spend their entire lives on a twisting, winding path, but they're happy because it's a path they find meaning in. Sometimes, no matter how hard we try, our career path never really takes us where we want to go. Even if that's the case, we can still find happiness in meaningful activities. This is where outside activities come into play. How many times have you heard someone accept an award for a volunteer activity and say, "It is I who should be thanking you"? That's because through this outside endeavor, they found the joy of being part of a meaningful activity. Meaningful activities don't have to be work-related. As a matter of fact, sometimes it's difficult to gain control on the job, but it's not hard to gain control of meaningful activities when you're away from work. Remember, control is a principle of how to find happiness. This brings up another issue. It comes up later in life, retirement. Isn't it strange that we work very hard during most of our adult lives so we can someday afford to retire? We think we'd be happy if we had more leisure time. After all, that leisure time will allow us more time to relax and watch TV or play golf. The experts say that this lack of meaningful activities doesn't make us any happier. In fact, it's been shown that retirement can make us unhappy. I'll take it a step further. Personally, I believe inactivity is a curse. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying we should all shun our retirement plans. What I'm saying is there is a direct link to meaningful activities and happiness. And that means we might want to redefine our definition of retirement. Meaningful activities don't have to be professional activities. Meaningful activities have to be rewarding activities. In other words, happiness comes when we test our skills through some meaningful activities. I don't like to get political in my writings, and I won't debate whether Jimmy Carter was a good president or not. What I will say is he's a role model when it comes to retirement and meaningful activities. Who could imagine that a former president would retire and begin to build houses for the needy? I'm not talking about being a figurehead or a spokesperson for a cause or a few good photo opportunities with a hammer in his hand. I'm talking about someone who picked up a hammer and built houses. Meaningful activities contribute to happiness, and it is something that you can, in fact, control. You can create a path at work. no matter what your age may be. You can create a path outside of work by learning a new skill or by volunteering for an organization that has meaning to you, or by creating a podcast or by writing a book. You can create a path through retirement. Those golden years can include golf and travel, and they can also include meaningful activities that will push you to accomplish new things. There's just so much that can be done. What's exactly stopping you? Principle 5, close relationships. This is a tricky one. Being in a close, functioning relationship seems to be the exception to the rule nowadays. And you're hearing this from an optimist. If you're fortunate enough to have a life partner who makes you happy, you're blessed. Let's leave it at that. However, a marriage or union is not the only relationship I'm talking about here. Close relationships refer to all your relationships. If you have children, do you have the blessings of being close to them? With one child now living in New York, another in Los Angeles, and our youngest child living in the next state over, we are card-carrying members of the Empty Nest Club. It is easy to stay close and connected to kids, but it's certainly worth the effort. Once again, however, we can look beyond our relationships with our family members to find connections. What about friends? It seems the older we get, the more difficult it is to make new friends. Maybe this is because as we get older, we expect more from our friends. Look around the next time you have a party or get together with your friends, and you might be surprised to see the majority of those you are with have been there for a long, long time. The fact is, it's hard to maintain close relationships. It's even harder to create new relationships. When you're in school, it's easy to find others to make lasting friendships with. Being in a pool of 500 to 600 kids in a public high school does increase one's odds of finding someone you can connect with. But the truth is, as we get older, our pool of friends decreases and we run the risk of doing something that almost always leads to sadness: isolation. We may wish it for small periods of time, but by nature, we are a species that desires company. So that's the problem. We got to take the pottery class, sign up for the ballroom dancing class, take guitar classes, commit to the exercise routine you need to act on, but do it now. You'll be happier if you do. And if you need some social contact, you're going to be increasing your chances of finding it. Close relationships, or the active, honest pursuit of them, contributes to happiness. So does engaging in meaningful activity. So does acting happy. So does optimism. So does control in our lives. If only the notion of happiness could be solved in a couple of podcasts. I know that I'm only skimming the surface of something quite complex, but I'm hoping I may have provided you with a hint or a spark or a push in the right direction. You may only take one idea from these podcasts about happiness, but that one idea may lead to a new outlook. And if so, I've done my job as a guide with many of the same flaws I speak about. But as a person who truly believes that the art of happiness is obtainable to anyone, it's sure worth a try.
Thanks so much for listening. If you enjoyed today's show, please rate and recommend it on iTunes, Outcast, or wherever you get your podcasts. You can also get more information on this show and Rob at Jollis.com.